branch of those who were reunited with Rome were allowed to have married clergy or just those individual priests were allowed to remain with their wives and families, but there was no further permission for a married clergy.
It is said that when Moses received the Ten Commandments, he also received the Kabbalah. Have you heard of the Kabbalah?
Say that again. Yeah.
When Moses received the Ten Commandments, it's said that he also received the Kabbalah.
And Moses?
Yeah, Moses received the Kabbalah.
Was it?
Moses. Yeah. Have you heard of
Well, that's the claim of the Kabbalists.
Yeah, makes sense.
Which all other Jews deny.
Communion services are on the increase in our dioceses. What do you recommend we do to stop this movement?
Well, as you know, communion services, which are administered not only by men, but by women, by nuns, they've been introduced on the claim that there's a shortage of priests, which is really not true. In fact, it's precisely such practices as communion services which has even brought on a shortage of priests, vocations dropping traumatically in our country. I would say two recommendations. Number one, to do everything in your power to encourage, promote, foster, do everything in your power to have the priest you know offer Mass. But it also means that there must be people, say, who want to attend or assist at Mass. So I would put it on a very personal level how much the Mass means to you. Urge, plead, because I can tell you this, where priests do not offer Mass as they should every day, it's because of the influence of those people on the priests. In other words, priests are subject to tremendous influence from the laity. And what I think we need, or let me change it, what I know we need in the Catholic Church is an organized Catholic laity that will be as strong, as courageous, dare I say, as militant, as are so many who have undermined the priesthood in our country.
If a priest does not show up for Mass, can a communion service be given?
Well, obviously, this is the logic. Priest did not come, let's have communion service. And of course, behind that is a deeper issue of Masses not being offered. And the very idea of a Mass being omitted or missed. So, of course, communion may be offered, but I would with all my heart plead, urge that Masses be offered and get the priest to offer Mass. For example, this coming week, now pardon me, Today is Sunday, so it's already first day of the week. So this week, I'm signed up to say the 6:30 Mass at Jesu. And what I did with my superiors, they asked me to agree to say the 6:30 Mass in the morning for 2 weeks of each month. Otherwise, the Mass would be canceled. The morning Mass would be canceled. So, whatever you can do, persuade priests. And of course, you yourselves must be willing to attend Mass. Because I can tell you, behind these communion services is something much deeper than appears on the surface.
Reverend Robert Drinan will be speaking in Toledo. The subject, How to Survive the Politics of Self-Destruction. Has he had a change of heart since he quit Congress?
See that.
Robert Drinan will be speaking on how to survive the politics of self-destruction.
Politics of self-destruction.
Has he had a change of heart since he quit Congress?
Bill, I certainly hope so. We lived together for 4 years at Georgetown. And I cannot tell you how many hours we spent in conversation together. So, I'm hoping and praying that what you just said is a fact.
Why are local priests not told to take your class? Local priests not told to take your class. This class.
Well, there are two sides to all of us. There's the popular side and the unpopular side.
How can one prove to people that when Jesus said to Peter, on this rock I build my church, that he meant the Catholic Church?
Well, because it's the only church that has survived over these 2,000 years. It's a matter of history. All the others have disappeared.
Does a priest have to obey his bishop if the bishop is not in communion with Rome?
The answer is, the priest must, of course, respect the bishop, as long as he is still in office as bishop. However, the obedience not just of the priest, but of the faithful. Submission to the bishop is conditioned. It is conditioned on what the bishop either teaches or ordains or orders is in conformity with and approved by the Bishop of Rome. Whenever the bishop's either teaching or directives are contrary to what the Vicar of Christ either teaches or orders, not just priests, but the faithful are exempt from obedience. And that is one of the great contributions of the Second Vatican Council.
Why doesn't Pope John Paul II call another council to eradicate current heresies?
You say clearinghouse?
No, to eradicate heresies.
Why does he not?
Call another council.
Call another council? Well, as a matter of fact, he may. On the other hand, as we found out from the second Vatican Council, first one held in this century, not everyone attending the Second Vatican Council was on the side of the Pope. And even worse, after the council was finished, the only English text of the Vatican II document that we had for years was a tailored set of 16 documents that did not give us what the Second Vatican Council really taught.
Would you please explain collegiality as defined by Vatican II?
Collegiality. Collegiality is a term which goes back to the early church, but popularized by the Second Vatican Council. It comes from the Latin word collegium, which would be college in English, where the first meaning of college or collegium is not a building or buildings that people go to get higher education. A collegium is an association of persons who think together and work together. Collegiality, therefore, is the bishop of the church united under the Pope. That's collegiality. And of course, this has tremendous value for the Catholic Church. Christ gives blessings to the church because of collegiality. But there is no collegiality in the Catholic Church independent of the Bishop of Rome.
Our priest tells us to say the act of contrition after confession. Is this valid?
Say it again.
Our priest tells us to say the act of contrition after confession. Is this valid?
Well, provided. Now, I would ask after confession, but before absolution.
Before absolution.
In other words, there must be sorrow, whether expressed or implied. There must be sorrow before the absolution.
Please identify the commentary on canon law that you formerly mentioned that is the only good one to accompany reading of canon law. The commentary.
Are you speaking of monasteries?
No, the commentary on canon law. Can you identify a good one?
I know of no large commentary that I could now universally recommend. Let me wait until our next class and come up with the names of smaller commentaries.
Okay. Why does the church not order local churches to replace the tabernacles in the church?
Well, I would say they have been so ordered by the Bishop of Rome.
Is there a new sacramentary in use in the U.S. that's approved by the church?
A new sacramentary.
Sacramentary.
If there is, I have not seen it.
Are there more than four Eucharistic prayers for Mass?
Yeah, those are the four approved ones.
You have said that Protestantism is Old Testament Christianity. Does this mean that they don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God?
Well, some of course do. But over the years in teaching in Protestant seminaries, I think I've told you, or teaching my own Jesuits Protestantism, I tell them that Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism, was what I call a Nestorian Christian. Martin Luther did not, in spite of words in some places of the contrary, Martin Luther did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He did not believe it.
When did they change the consecration prayers from "for many" to "for all"? Many to all. Consecration prayer. When did they change it?
Well, the meaning really is all. And both are used. In other words, the Latin is pro multis, for many. But the church over the centuries has always understood that pro multis to mean pro omnibus, for all. In other words, that Christ shed his blood for the universal salvation of all the human race.
What can we tell our priest so that he will keep the tabernacle in the church? Our pastor quotes Vatican II, chapter 3, as proof that he can move it to another room. What can we tell our priest?
I read the first part.
Our pastor quotes Vatican II, chapter 3, on the Eucharist as proof that he can move the tabernacle to another room. How can we get him to keep it?
Well, all I can say is not true. Over the years, since the Second Vatican Council, as I'm sure you know, there have been more liberties taken with the liturgy and the Eucharist than any other area of Catholic practice, and often with devastating consequences. And this is where the present Holy Father, by the way, has done a great deal, if I could use the expression, to clean things up. It is well to know that there is documentation coming regularly from Rome which clarifies the Church's official teaching on other subjects, including this one. But to answer the specific question, it is just not true that Vatican II ordered what is going on in our churches today.
And that's the last question. Would you give us your blessing?
Please.
Give us your blessing?
Right.
Your blessing? That was the last question.
May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon all of you and your families and remain with you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think our next class is on October the 27th. Thank you. God bless you.